Mary Halverson, guitar. Joe McPhee, soprano saxophone. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Sound echoey in here?
Sound a little echoey, yeah,
okay,
but...
get closer to the mic.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So thank you guys so much for doing this. This was a, I'm almost embarrassed to say, humbled to say, at my request, just because I wanted to hear you two play together. And so far it sounds great. We're going to talk and play a little more, I hope. But
thank you for the invitation. I'm very happy to have this opportunity to play with Mary. She sounds terrific.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, likewise. I'm so happy you suggested it.
No, I've been waiting for like a year for somebody else to do it, and finally I was like, okay, I'll do it. Because it just seemed like such a natural to me to hear you two together. Joe plays trumpet and valve trombone and saxophones and a variety of instruments. And I was curious how, especially in a situation with somebody you haven't played with before, how you decide what you're going to, you brought the soprano today. How do you decide what horn you're going to play?
Well, it was a bit of a thought process. I tried to imagine what a good balance would be in a room like this. This seems like a more even match. The tenor's a bit heavy.
Mm-hmm.
The trumpet, I play a pocket trumpet. That could be a little sharp, you know, for me in the guitar. I don't know, it just felt right. I don't know, and I play with a guitarist I've been playing with for about 35 years, Raymond Bonnet in France.
Yeah, I love him. He's so
good. In fact, he gave me this. I'll tell you the story of the soprano.
Oh, really?
One day. Yeah, I had another soprano that disappeared. It was stolen or somehow it disappeared. And one day he called me from France and we were talking. He said, "Something strange in your voice." He said, "What happened?" And I said, "Well, my soprano disappeared." And he said, "Oh, that can't be." He said, "You have to get another one." I said, "Yeah, but they're kind of expensive." And then he said, "Well, if you had your druthers, what one would you want?" And I said, "Maybe Yanagisawa or something like that." He said, "How about a Selmer Super Action 3, top of the line?" And I said, "Yeah, that sounds good, but you know, and I can't cover that right now." He called me back about an hour later, and he said, "You're going to be in Paris in about a week." He said, "I'll see you there." He walked into the room with this.
Wow.
Wow.
And he gave me, he had all the papers and everything with it. He said, "Don't worry, it's not stolen, it's legitimate," and whatever. And he turned around and walked out of the room. And, so later he told me his mother had died and she left him some money. And he comes from this kind of gypsy tradition and so on. And he said, "You know, we can't keep the money." He said, "You have to pass it on to somebody else."
Oh, wow.
So it's this horn, and that's part of it.
Beautiful.
There's a lot of stuff in the air.
That's amazing. Yeah.
And listener Jim wants me to ask you, Joe, if you remember playing with Abu Sharif 3 million years ago. You don't look 3 million years old.
Well, you know what? Oddly enough, this is really weird, because I just found a cassette tape from this concert up in... where was it? Up in Brown University?
Providence is what
Providence.
He's talking about. Yeah.
It was in Providence. I've got the cassette. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, Providence.
Well, maybe that's something that we could hear on the airwaves in the future.
Give it to you. Yeah.
And
how do you remember that?
I don't. listener Jim, do you know Jim M?
Jim M?
Yeah.
Not really.
Jim Macney. I don't understand the rule about not saying names,
yeah,
so I'll just say it.
Sure, yeah, I know him, yeah.
Yeah, Jim Macney posted on the playlist here about that concert. He wanted me to ask you.
Well, somehow post on there that I've got a copy. I'll give it to him.
He's listening, so I think he knows now. And I'm not bashful about instrument geekery on the program here, so Mary, tell me about your guitar. It's a beautiful, big hollow body guitar.
Thank you. I love this guitar. It's a Guild Artist Award from 1970.
Oh, wow.
And I was sort of looking for the biggest, most hollow-sounding archtop I could find, and this was it. And they still make them today, but the ones they make now are sort of smaller. They don't have the freakishly large dimensions that the old ones
have. It's a huge guitar.
So, yeah, I really like it. I've been playing it for about 10 years.
And your use of electronics is really distinctive in your sound. Can you talk a little about what you're doing there with the pedals?
Yeah, actually, Everyone thinks I have a pitch shifter, but it's actually just a line six delay pedal, which I have, you know, working through a foot switch, it makes it sound like it's shifting the pitch. But recently I thought, you know, since everyone always asks me if I have a pitch shifter or a ring modulator, I should actually get one. So I actually had a friend custom make a, I have a friend that builds effects pedals, built me a ring modulator. Which I don't have today because it's a little bit broken, but
it's a little bit broken.
But yeah, this is just a delay pedal, actually.
It sounds
really
cool.
Delay pedal and distortion.
Yeah, I've never heard anybody quite do what you do on guitar. So thanks again for agreeing to meet like this. And I was wondering for both of you, how do you? I mean, I'm sure you've been asked to do sort of one-off. I don't want to say one off, it might happen again, but improvisations without rehearsal, without meeting, just sort of thrown together. And it seems like it could be a daunting thing. How do you approach something like that?
For me, personally, I walk into the room, I met Mary. She sets off a great vibe. I mean, it was absolutely warm and perfect. There was, you know, you listen very carefully from the first note. And I get pretty much a pretty good idea of what the possibilities might be, just in terms of myself, where I might want to go with things and what I might want to leave out, and often I prefer to leave stuff out to play too much.
Mm-hmm.
Just listen very carefully, which I get, of course, from Pauline Oliveris's deep listening concept.
Right.
You know, her idea is that we listen in order to hear, and we hear in order to interpret the world around us. And so I try to keep that in mind, and I try to listen very carefully to Mary, what she's doing, where she's going, you know, in the moment, and try to be there, because it's about sharing, you know, sharing the space and the time that we have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it for me.
Anything you want to add besides listening to the whole world, Mary?
Well, I definitely agree with that, but I also find it interesting that, you know, no matter how much you've heard somebody on record or seen someone perform live, you're always surprised. It's sort of impossible to know how you're going to interact with somebody until you actually try it. So even if you know somebody's playing, there's always still an element of surprise. So it's always really exciting to have a first time meeting with somebody,
right?
Even if it's somebody whose music you know.
Yeah. And surprises is something that that I think Joe works really well with, and that's sort of what was my thinking behind asking you two to play together. Is some of the records that you've done, Joe, that maybe aren't as well known, your collaborations like with the Nihilist Spasm Band and Cato Salsa, who are faves around WFMU and the Cato Salsa Experience, and some of the not quite as jazzy things you've done, where there's just sort of these blocks of sound that you have an amazing way, I think, of sort of winnowing through and finding little unused corners in or something. And in a way, that's what I think Mary's music is like, is there's a lot of unpredictable sounds that happen and layered sounds, and that's just sort of why I wanted to hear you two play together. So I'm so glad you're doing it. Do you want to, wait, let me ask you first, what's coming up for both of you?
Mary?
Well, the next thing in New York is a concert this Saturday night with Toma Fujiwara's quintet, The Hookup, and that's going to be at Douglas Street Music Collective.
In Brooklyn.
And yeah, I'm around here the rest of the month, just taking a little holiday, relaxing, playing a couple shows, and doing some traveling in January, so.
And a record this year that's been getting a lot of nice year-end attention on Firehouse 12. So, Joe, what's coming up with you?
On Saturday, and hopefully there are enough people in New York to come to both the concerts. At the Breck Forum, I'm playing in a quartet with Ross Moshe, and I think Hill Green is in it, and I don't know all the people who are on the date, but it's on the web. On the 26th.
That's at the Brecht Forum, or brechtforum.org.
Yeah. On the 26th, the day after Christmas, I'm playing duets with Dominic Duval at Alan Carilli's place at 17.
Oh, nice.
what's it, 17 White Street. Music for a season of peace, we hope.
Yeah. Okay. Mary and Joseph, can I say that again?
No.
Last time.
And last time. Yeah. Joe and Mary,
okay.
I will say. You want to play a little more?
Sure.
Great. Thanks so much.